I would like to welcome all of you to this Yoga Lila evening. I believe all of you know that this year marks the 500th anniversary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's visit in Vrindavan Dham. And all over Vrindavan there are many festivities of which celebrated this. I remember one festival which really struck me was when the devotees from Jagannath Puri had incinerated the visit of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan by traveling with a huge Gauranga deity. It was really a beautiful deity with long lotus eyes. They accompanied this deity through the forest of Jarikanda, to Mathura. The deity went through many of the 12 forests which were visited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally, the deity arrived in Radhakund. You can't imagine. So many Gaudiya Vaishnavas were there that it was not possible to move on the path which led out of Radhakund. And they all came to this place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered Radhakund, which is known now as the Mahaprabhu Baitak, sitting place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was this huge deity, and all the devotees trying to see him. They were sitting on the roofs of the little buildings in Radhakund to get a view, and it was really they were crying, and of course they were the Bengalis, and they were trying to roll in the dust the devotees. It was really a scene which reminded us very much of the descriptions which we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Descriptions when Lord Chaitanya appeared somewhere, really millions of people converged at that place. They came together like rivers, you could say. And when rivers come together, usually high waves are created. So these high waves were the devotees who climbed on top of each other to try to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was really a reenactment of that. I could see that so many devotees wanted to see him on the roofs. And there are only two trees there, two big trees which come from the Lord Chaitanya. But everywhere there was a great festival. Books were published in Vrindavan, commemorative issues, they're called in English. Different celebrations were done. Very nicely organized also, and done in an inter-religious way. There are many movements which stem and originate from the great golden avatar, but they all came together as brothers and sisters celebrating this great event, Lord Chaitanya's visit in Vrindavan Dham. And for my katha, the time which we have, these 3 evenings, I will discuss this event in a way which will be relevant and inspiring for the devotees here in Germany, I hope. We will sing a lot, we will relish Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I'm very happy to see you and try to serve you, but you have to also serve the katha. Some of you have the world in their eyes, and might leave the world. Some of you have not yet come, only the body has come. Please come to the temple of Radha Madanmohan. Connect with the deities and with Lord Chaitanya in a devotional way. This is our time together with Krishna. And I think it will be quite amazing what we do here. Because the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always amazing. Mathura, the ecstatic love in his heart increased 1,000 times. But when he finally touched the land of Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased 100,000 times. Can you imagine? This is like a volcano of love exploding. As Kaviraj Goswami said, when Lord Chaitanya was elsewhere, the name of Vrindavan was sufficient to increase his ecstatic love. But when he reached the forests of Vrindavan, day and night, he exhibited the highest signs of love of Godhead. Because he is the same Krishna who had appeared 500 years ago. He is the same Lord who now was roaming through the forests of Vrindavan. The devotees of Vrindavan had asked me to write an article about Lord Chaitanya's visit in Vrindavan. All I could write was, if you really want to go to Vrindavan, there's only one road which can bring us there. It is not the road of Bulgaria, Turkey, Iran, Pakistan. It's not even the airways which Lufthansa takes. The only road to go to Vrindavan is the road of eagerness, loyal, intense longing. Krishna Bhakti cannot be had even by pious activities in hundreds of thousands of lives. You can endeavor for hundreds of thousands of lives. There's only one price for Krishna consciousness, that is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, Jai Gopal, you must purchase it without delay. Once Lord Chaitanya went to the Jagannath Balam garden, it was evening, and the the moon was right. There was a soft wind which moved the creepers. All of a sudden, his nose smelled a very intense fragrance. It smelled as if a lotus flower in full blossom had been smeared with musk. And as he was looking in the direction from which this fragrance came, he saw Krishna under a tree. And Krishna was dressed in a yellowish dhoti, a vanamali garland which swung on his body and reached to his knees. But what was most enchanting was Krishna's glance of love. Gauranga Mahaprabhu began to run towards Krishna to embrace him. But when he reached that tree, Krishna smiled and disappeared. Oh Krishna, where have you gone? You appeared to me one time, but now you have disappeared again. This reminds us of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. When he went to a forest in Puri, he started to run and all the devotees couldn't find him. He went deep into the forest and finally fainted, crying, "Oh Krishna, I first saw you, but then you disappeared." For many, many days, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur could not say any other word than, "Oh Krishna, oh Krishna." My dear listeners, simply try to hear this description with faith and love. That will help you to understand transcendental ecstasy. And at last, at long last, you will achieve love of Godhead very easily. My dear devotees, all of us have to one day become mad. There is no other solution to our innumerable problems. The problems are there because at the moment we are absorbed in material consciousness and we bring that consciousness even into the temple. The world does not stay outside. It's inside of our mind.
Prabhupada would say, "This material madness you have to give up. And you have to become mad after Krishna. Then your life is successful." That madness is exhibited by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Crying, tears in the eyes, like torrents of rain. Shunjaitam jagat savam. I feel the whole world is empty. Why? Seems to be so full. No, it's empty. Govinda virahina me. There is Govinda. This madness is wanted. One madness brings you into the material world, another brings you out. Choose. Which one do you want to take? Srila Prabhupada said, the gopis were mad after Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan to Mathura, they became so mad that they had no other business than Shakshusha Pravishaitam. Simply crying,
torrents of rain. That is wanted. That is Vrindavan life. So Mahaprabhu had been wanting to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna had appeared to him several times in Puri, but he knew Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And finally, after many, many attempts to go to Vrindavan, he was finally successful. His devotees didn't want him to go there because they thought, what will happen if fire touches dynamite? What will happen if the Baba of Gauranga Mahaprabhu touches the land of Vrindavan? He will never return. His body will not be able to tolerate the storm of ecstatic emotions. But finally, the devotees had to relent and give in to Gauranga Mahaprabhu's desire. And we will hear in a moment how Lord Chaitanya traveled to Vrindavan, because that's something which we need to learn if we want to go to Vrindavan and not a dusty village in Uttar Pradesh with an income rate below poverty level. We want to come to the transcendental Vrindavan. We need to find the road in our life. We want to come to Vrindavan, the Vrindavan where there is no politics, where there are just loving devotees. We need to travel the same road as Gauranga Mahaprabhu took.
Oh,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Because something has been lost on the way. You have purchased a ticket to come to Vrindavan, but a ticket can never bring you to Vrindavan. In the old times, this was different. Pilgrims would walk by feet or on horsebacks, on camels, and it would take a long time. They would have to negotiate so many troubles, bacteria, bandits, difficult water for drinking, the impossible Entsorgungs situations, means toilet, bathroom, etc. But while they were traveling, overcoming one obstacle after another, something in their hearts grew, something which is dead in many people's hearts. It's the eagerness, the intense longing that, oh my dear Lord Krishna, I need you more than anything. And it is only through the eyes of this perspective, this longing, that it is actually possible to perceive the spiritual reality of what is Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described this inner fullness in his heart as he was walking to Vrindavan. His mind was fully there. He was not absent-minded. And he speaks a very moving poem. This very much reminds us of the deeply inspired poesy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And please try to understand this very deep. He speaks about how he is making his inner journey to Vrindavan. My mind has given up the comforts of home life. Yes, I used to live in the body and enjoy bodily comforts to the senses, but now my body is like an empty house. My mind has taken to the profession of begging. He goes to Vrindavan and walks from door to door. He's accompanied by his 10 disciples, the senses. And he begs from every resident and every tree the gift of love of God. But he doesn't get what he has come for. Then he decides gopis always taste the beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna. They smell the aroma of Krishna's body and they hear the sound of his flute and touch him with their bodies. Maybe the gopis have left some remnants, some leftovers of that beauty of Krishna, of that fragrance of Krishna, of that sound of Krishna's flute. So my 10 disciples go to the gopis' houses and say, you are rich in Krishna Bhakti, our master. The mind is dying. Please give him some small remnants. The Lord Chaitanya describes how the yogi of his mind looks. He is wearing only one ring, a golden ring, which was made by Shukadev Goswami. It's the description of the rasa dense circle, the rasmanya. He has a begging bowl of his aspirations and carries a bag of expectations. He wears a torn quilt and talisman decker anxiety, and his only words are, alas,
Alas
Krishna.
Krishna.
Alas Krishna.
Alas Krishna.
In my mind, says Gauranga Mahaprabhu, lost the association of Krishna. It fled this body, leaving the residence of my body empty. Thus, I'm completely in trance. My dear devotees, this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled to Vrindavan, totally in trance. His mind begging for the gift of bhakti, of Krishna bhakti. Lord Chaitanya had one assistant with him. His name was Balabhadra, and he carried a water pot with the water supply. Was put in the tents. Dry clothes for Lord Chaitanya. Thus the Lord was free to chant and dance, his hands completely uncovered. And as he walked, he infused his Krishna bhakti into everyone. Even the animals. My dear devotees, once the Lord saw a tiger, a Bengali tiger, it's 4 to 5 meters long, sleeping on the path. Lord Chaitanya went to him, kicked him with his lotus feet, and said, "Why do you waste your time? Chant! This is not what you do with a tiger, and you don't do it with a Hare Krishna devotee also. You become highly angry." But the tiger, seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, jumped up and started to dance. "Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!"
Once the Lord saw some elephants coming into a river to quench their thirst, the Lord was bathing in the same river, and he took the river water and by chanting ecstatically splashed the elephants with the drops from that river, and the elephants became ecstatic and danced. My dear devotees, all the animals started to dance and chant and embrace themselves, forgetting the natural animosity and envy which one species carries against another species. When the Queen of England on her silver jubileo entered the school in London, our school, she was asked to unveil a picture of Lord Chaitanya who danced with the animals of the Jharkhanda forest chanting the holy name. And as Queenji, the queen, unveiled this, she saw Mahaprabhu for the first time, maybe. And she asked, "What is the gentleman doing?" "That's creepy." "There are many things for you to be on." Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally arrived in Braj. He saw Mathura and the Keshavaji temple, the big temple, from the distance, and as he saw Krishna's birthplace, the Lord just threw himself on the ground. He looked like a golden rod falling, golden rod, and offered his prayers to the holy demons. This is the example of the Lord. This is the example of Akrura as well. When Akrura entered the precincts of Vrindavan, he saw on the ground the footprints of Lord Krishna. And he immediately jumped from his high golden chariot on those footprints and rolled in the dust, forgetting all his fear from Kamsa and his, let me say, his understanding of his high position in life. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book about this, that when someone comes to Vrindavan, this is the way to enter Vrindavan, to actually bow down and touch the dust of Vrindavan to your forehead. No ticket can bring us to Vrindavan, only this attitude that I am entering into the kingdom of God now. In Vrindavan, no, in Mathura, which is in the area of Vrindavan, something significant happened. Something which I would like to point out to all of you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited many temples amongst them the Keshavya, Keshavaji Mandir. Nowadays when you visit this temple, you find a beautiful altar, but downstairs, before the high walls, you can go into a structure which looks like a cella. It's in fact the cell where Krishna appeared. So Mahaprabhu was in the upper part of the temple and became so ecstatic that he danced in ways no one had ever seen before. When Lord Chaitanya danced, sometimes his feet would touch his head. I have not seen this style of dancing even Hari Prasad from New York, a town where everything is possible, has never danced like this before. The people who saw Lord Chaitanya had never seen such a thing. You know, the Mahaprabhu danced, they were, he would cry, but the tears came out of his eyes like, we would say in German language, like from a water pistol. And would batter the devotees who stood nearby. Lord Chaitanya would sometimes shout so loud, these shouts were called hunkaras, that it would deafen the ears of the atheists. But by his potency, he protected the eardrums of the devotees so that there was no ear problems. It was really loud, like thunder, it is described. Have you ever been in a parachute and gone down and landed in a thundercloud? I do not recommend it. It's too loud. So he was shouting and he was perspiring, he was dancing and he was sometimes very hungry, saying, "Oh Krishna, oh son of Nanda Maharaj, you have arisen from the ocean of the Yadu dynasty, but now you have disappeared. Please come." So as this dancing was going on, was a huge crowd which increased, and amongst them was one Brahmana who looked very observant, and this is so comparable after. And after watching Lord Chaitanya singing and dancing with increasing ecstasy, all of a sudden he jumped into the circle, started to sing and dance. Lord Chaitanya became aware of him and embraced him to his chest, and both of them cried so many tears. Then they looked at the people and said, "Why are you silent? Do you have a tongue or not? Chant!" And everyone soon chanted and danced and laughed and cried in ecstasy. And the people shouted, "Look at this sannyasi! Everyone becomes mad at the love of God and just seeing them. Could this be Krishna himself who has returned to Mathura to deliver every one of us?" My dear devotees, this was real kirtan. Kirtan means when you glorify the Lord, and after some time you notice it's no longer your mind glorifying. You begin to understand, wow, I have passed out of my own little troublesome universe. I'm singing now with the voice of the soul to Krishna. So, after the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya took some time to come from what is called internal consciousness into the half external, half internal consciousness, and then out of it into the normal consciousness, into the unnormal consciousness in which we are perceiving our world, the consciousness which is aware of external objects. So he looked around, he saw the Brahmana, and he took him aside and he said, "Tell me your secret. Why are you dancing like this? What has made you so ecstatic?" The Brahmana said, "I think it's the same source which made you so ecstatic. Once the great soul Madhavendra Puri passed through Mathura, and although I'm a low-class Brahmana, he accepted my invitation and put food at my house, and then he initiated me. And after that time, I feel this ecstatic love. But you also feel this ecstatic love." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, I also got it from Madhavendra Puri. My Guru Maharaj is Ishvara Puri, the disciple of Madhavendra." "Wow," said the Brahmana. "Do you know what Madhavendra said in the last phases of his life?" Gauranga Mahaprabhu smiled and said, "Yes, I know the verse." And he recited the verse, "Ai dina dayatra natahi Madhuranata kadama lochase Ridayam tvat aloka kataram Daita brahmyati kim karunyam." My dear devotees, we have a disciple amongst us of the illustrious Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Do you know, just a few days before he passed away, he only chanted this verse when he was with his friend Radhanath Maharaj. They only discussed this verse. This verse becomes sweeter the more you discuss it. It's like sandalwood.
The more you rub it, the more it becomes fragrant. It's very esoteric, but you are also very advanced, and you can have a right to hear the translation. This verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani when she suffered tremendous pain of separation. Her separation from Krishna made her body so agitated that when she called out for Krishna in a high voice, the stones would break. A lot of emotional intensity. Would you like to know the verse translation? Oh my Lord, O most merciful Master, you are now the Master of Mathura. You have left us in Vrindavan. But I asked you, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, tell me what shall I do now in your absence? When Govinda Puri chanted this verse, he left his body and went to do his service in the spiritual world.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you.
for an entire 2 months in Vrindavan. His visit started at the end of Kartik, and 500 years ago he was at this time still in Vrindavan. One of these 2 months was spent circumambulating the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Who of you has circumambulated the 12 forests of Vrindavan? Three, four, so little. Say, when you walk through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, you will experience the 12 rasas in relationship to Krishna and lose your taste of material life. It's something, you know, some of you are adventurous, you're not dead still. You could go if you desire and experience this sacred pilgrimage. If you so desire, you may go. So Mahaprabhu really, in some ways, for the Ascodia, started this thing. And we will show you maybe tomorrow or the day, I think tomorrow, a few slides of our last, when we went for a few days through the forest of Vrindavan. You will become so attracted that I guarantee you, you will make travel plans afterwards. So the last month, or the second month, he stayed in a place called Akura Ghat. But because there were many people who wanted to see him, the golden avatar, he would sneak out early in the morning, go to Vrindavan, where he mostly sat under a tree. Who knows the tree? Imlital, yes. It is a tamal tree. Once when Lord Krishna could not find Radha, he was sitting there. No, I get it wrong. When Radha couldn't find Krishna, she was sitting there chanting Krishna, Krishna. And now Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went under that, to that same holy place where once Srimati Radharani had yearned for Krishna, chanted the holy name there. And then he returned for his noon prasadam to Akura Ghat, and in the afternoon saw the many Brajvasis who wanted to see and discuss with him. There's a very interesting discussion which I might get to tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. We will see how far we go. For now, I would like to just inform you a little bit about parikrama or circumambulation. Sometimes devotees ask, what do we do in Vrindavan except for just going, maybe taking part in the temple programs and going to purchase items for the temple shop? What do we do, really? And the answer to this is parikrama. Parikrama, or walking and circumambulating, that means circling the holy dharma, is a means of offering respect. It includes visiting pastimes places. And when you go to the places where Krishna performs his pastimes, you should sit there and remember and talk about the pastimes which took place at that time. Then you should bow down respectfully and take the dust of that place on your head, because it is this dust which was touched by Krishna's lotus feet. See, there are various ways in which Krishna expresses and, if you so want, transfers his love. One is through his kiss, but that is too high for many of us. The way he also transfers his love is by playing on his flute. And when the flute song comes from the flute, it calls his devotees. It's a way of expressing love. Another way the Lord expresses his love is, believe it or not, through his all auspicious feet. The love of his heart goes from his feet into the dust of Vrindavan. And when you take this dust on your head, you will become somehow influenced by this love of Vrindavan, of Krishna. I have personally dust in my possession which heals all diseases, and I intend to send some to one devotee from here who is in cancer therapy at home, and so on. It's a dust. It's a very amazing dust that has healed many people and does heal many people. It's the dust, you know, when they play holy in Vrindavan, and when the ladies have the sticks and bang, beat on the men, and then sometimes the hand breaks. Rich Bhasis are much more temperamental than Germans. Then if they take dust from the place where that happened and smear it over the places which are hurt and even broken, it heals. I want to give you also dust tomorrow. I have to see if I brought it with or if I kept it, because it's dust which is millions and billions of euros worth. So you must take the dust because Krishna has given his love through his to the dust, and it is stored there. Then you should take bath in sacred waters and perform Nam Sankirtan all the time when you walk. It may be difficult for some of you who need to talk always, but better is to sing. That is best. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Mathura, he did all this. He went down on the floor and down the mud. He took the dust. He remembered Krishna's pastimes. And he then took his bath in the Jamuna at Vishramgat, where Krishna had taken a rest after he had liberated Kamsa. Mahaprabhu took his bath there. I want to end my katha today by telling you about a bath in Jamuna. This year, Gaurahari led a few of us along the side of the Yamuna for 2 hours or so. We walked in an absolutely lonely area, and then we were told, it was quite cold, that we should take our bath in the Yamuna. And I said, I never do this, it's too cold for me. You come exactly 40 years too late. But then I remember, I said, come on, you're not a materialist, are you? And we said, let me just carefully look at the Yamuna and then decide. When we looked at the Yamuna, we felt that invitation. In fact, what I saw was with Atul Krishna was a black, very black car. cow. I've never seen such an entirely black cow coming out of the Yamuna and walking to my direction. And I said, what other sign do I still need? And when I was in the Yamuna, my dear devotees, I felt so different from what I have, what I normally feel. It was just so close to Krishna. The Yamuna does this. She imparts love of Godhead in the heart. It was very, very nice to bathe in the Yamuna. And very powerful. Who of you knows Tulsidas? Tulsidas, the author of Ram Manasa Charita. It's some of you have read. Yes. He had a brother who was exactly the opposite. It's not like Jai Krishna loves Kirtan, it is younger brother Nimai loves Kirtan even more. Tulsidas loved Ram, and his brother loved lusty women. It was like that, you know. So the brother always felt that not comfortable because he was the brother of Tulsidas. And everyone related to him in this way. So he left Varanasi with a troupe of actors and did many theater plays in the villages, and afterwards was leading a very, you know, the life of actors or entertainers is quite sensuous. So once it so happened that after one performance he went to the village wall well and saw a beautiful lady taking water, and he somehow fell in love with that pious saintly lady. The lady was felt highly inconvenienced when she felt the eyes of this man wandering all over, and she quickly took the water and went home. The brother was so infatuated that he followed her as if hypnotized. So she came to the house and locked the door and said to her husband, "I don't know what to do. This man is following me." And so the husband went out and said, "Can we help you?" "Yes. I want to be together with that woman. She's my wife. If I cannot be together with her, I will stay here before your door and I will fast until death." "I don't know what you would do if someone threatens to fast until death before your door. It's a highly uncomfortable situation." So they both decided we must pass our Guru Maharaj, and through a back door they went and escaped. They went to the Yamuna, but when they looked around they saw the man following as if hypnotized. They quickly went into a boat, and they told all the boatmen, "Don't take him across the Yamuna, please. He's mad. Here, we give you some luxury, but don't keep him on the other side." And they went to the Guru Maharaj and they told him this is the situation. "Acha," he said, "how sad. But now take some prasadam. You look highly disturbed by what happened." And he took them to a prasadam room, and there were three plates, not two. They asked, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, we feel very shy to eat with you. You may eat separately, me eat separately." it's not for me, it's for the man. What? They look out of the window, he's coming. They looked out of the window and they saw this man. But my dear devotees, he had changed. He was dancing. He was calling, O Krishna, O Shyam Sundar. He had crossed the Yamuna by swimming and he was dripping wet. But together with crossing the Yamuna, he had crossed over his bad attachments. And he had become saintly. So the Guru Maharaj had seen that and he wanted to give him a little prasadam together with his two disciples. And they took prasadam. The man excused himself for being so much under the control of the material Rajagun and Tamagun, and said, I changed my life, I'm a good brother, I will serve my brother, and then I will become good also. My dear devotees, this can happen by the power of Yamuna. Please look there. There's a wonderful picture of devotees crossing in a boat, the Yamuna, at sunset. We also crossed the Yamuna. It was not sunset, but we could feel while first bathing and then crossing the divine influence of Yamuna, who's destroying sins from the heart. Even if you only get a breeze from her, that means you stand nearby, the wind comes and brings the breeze from Yamuna. It's that powerful. So, this is what I wanted to explain to you. Mahaprabhu had taken his bath in Vishwangat, and then he entered Braj in the remote forest of, it's called Agraban. There he rolled again on the ground, being overwhelmed with ecstasy, and embraced all the trees and called out to the animals, chant Krishna. There were many peacocks, squirrels, they called, what are they called? Schreifenhörnchen in German language. And more than anything, the cows of the Dharma. They came and they seemed to recognize Lord Chaitanya. They licked his body with tears in their eyes and they followed him everywhere without being able to leave them aside. Krishna loves cows and so does Lord Chaitanya. Krishna loves the cows so much that he knows each single name of the cows. Every evening Krishna sits on a tree. He has a jeweled beads by which he counts the herds of cows. Do you know how many cows his father Nanda Maharaj has? 900,000. That's a lot. That the farmer, bio farmer, doesn't have. So he needs to count them. And sometimes the cows don't come. When one cow doesn't come, Krishna calls the name of that particular cow who hides the cow. He has not forgotten me. And she comes out of her hiding place to be with Krishna. When Krishna heard the cows to the Yamuna, where Kaliya was poisoning the waters, the cows drank the poisoned waters and all fell dead on the ground. At that moment, Krishna came to the cows. He looked at the cows who were on the ground and he cried tears for each one of his cows. And when those tears of Krishna fell on the bodies of the cows, they were revived again to life. They flocked around Krishna, the lover of the cows, the Gopal, the enchanter, the hearts of all living beings, and they licked his transcendent body. And Krishna was extremely happy by this sign of the affection of the cows.
I would like to start tomorrow with a very important question. Why is it that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
became so ecstatic in the Dharma? And what can we learn from this for our own life? Especially because most of us are surrounded not by Vrindavan, but by material objects which constantly influence us to forget Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya entered the forest of Vrindavan, he was reminded of Krishna everywhere, especially by the cows. When we entered the forest of which the Nimbarkas keep. In Viharavan, it's a beautiful forest in Vrindavan, which is kept by the Nimbarka Sampradaya. It has the ancient trees and the trees are not cut and so on. There is a huge goshala. I don't think they have 900,000 cows, but they have a lot. And when we were there eating prasadam, all these cows wanted to be with devotees. They were around us. It was very wonderful, very nice. We were sitting there, and the first time I saw these white cows, they looked like goddesses, was when I looked over the pond and I saw them coming out of the jungle. And it looked like really, I thought of the goddesses of Avalon who emerged from the fall. It was a very evocative, mystical scene. They came, wanted to greet us. I could see at that moment, there's a reason why Krishna loves the cows. They are lovable.
Hare Krishna.
I would request all of you to now turn to the Radha Madan Mohan. Serious in your spiritual life. That's why you have come here to get some further inspirations. It's very important that during this time we connect with the deities and sing with Krishna, sing for Krishna, and pray that he will also give us this sweet mercy.
night is now. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Krishna.
See, I understand we have 15 more minutes before the deities go to bed. So I think it's not good to just leave before they go to bed. No.
Well, usually they go earlier to bed.
They go earlier to
bed. Usually.
Let's please sing a good night song.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
see, try to hear the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra that pervades your heart, and then when you hear it, you should sing. In other words, first it must be in the heart, the chanting. Then you can offer the chanting as a loving offering to the Lord. Please, let us try to sing.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Thank you.